right, happy hump day, everybody. Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller, Donnie Football, one day away from me getting on a plane and heading to Vegas for Steelers-Raiders. Donnie will join me there Saturday morning. Mulzy will hold down the fort here in Pittsburgh, and that's Adam Schefter there. The state of the Davante Adams trade rumors and scuttlebutt, saying there that things are slowing down with the two favorites, the Jets and Saints, because of Jets upheaval and his boy Derek Carr injured. Apparently, Davante Adams does not want to play with fake John and Robinson's man crush, Spencer Rattler. He wants to play with Derek Carr from Fresno State. And that means that the Steelers are picking up steam in this Davante Adams sweepstakes. Now, we know the nightmare we're living right now with George Pickens. And I've said here for the last couple of days, it's made the heart grow fonder for Davante Adams. But I've actually had an epiphany on this, guys. And I'd like for you to follow me on this for a minute.
This usually goes in an interesting direction.
I have a pony epiphany on Davante Adams. It was also announced today that he won't be playing for the Raiders on Sunday because of a hamstring injury. Let me start by asking you guys, do you legitimately think he has a hamstring injury?
No.
You do not. Donnie, no. Do you?
I do not.
I think for the purposes of the NFL's injury report, they have to genuinely pretend that he does.
I agree with that.
Okay.
So then if we remove, just like Tomlin lied to us yesterday about load management, George Pickens really got benched. You guys are reading through the bureaucracy of the way the Raiders are doing things, and you're saying this is not a hamstring.
Yeah.
Am I wrong to say Davante Adams has quit the team?
Yes, actually, because I think it's a mutual decision by the team where they know he wants to be traded and they are holding him out of games so that their asset doesn't get actually hurt.
Fair enough. You don't like the keyword. Is it fair to say that Davante Adams doesn't want to play for the Raiders anymore?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Why would things be any different here? That's
everybody likes to play for Mike Tomlin.
Really?
Yeah,
we're seeing that play out firsthand with George and other
guys.
You've
seen the Steelers connected to him. There's two reasons I think players in trade debates get connected to a particular team. One, there's an actual reason to think they want to go there. So the Jets, Rodgers, the Saints, Carr, until his oblique injury, he'll be out for at least like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yep.
Or the people who make like these odds posts or the people who produce behind the scenes at ESPN who help set the table with topics see a place with a need and connect a player who would fill that need to that place. I think the Steelers are more the latter, obviously. I don't think, objectively, most receivers who might be watching the Steelers' offense through a critical lens would be like, that's a place I want to go. That's where receivers go and absolutely ball out.
Okay, but even if it's not a preferred destination, if it's one of his plan B destinations, and he might think right now, okay, if I can't go to the Jets or the Saints, then I'll try to make it work with the Steelers. Everybody raves about Mike Tomlin, and frankly, among the teams that are being discussed here, they probably have a better chance of making the playoffs than the Jets or Saints at the moment. I mean, they're 3-2 and technically in first place. The Jets are 2-3, and so are the Saints, if you're just looking at those three teams.
Sure.
So Adams might be able to convince himself right now and make himself believe that this is better than his situation in Vegas.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, if this guy's already proven in Vegas that he gets to a point where he says, you know what, I don't need this crap anymore, why would that not happen here? When that happens with wide receivers, this place either makes wide receivers feel that way, or we go out and we target players who are programmed or wired to feel that way. And so with Adams, here's how I would look at it. If you went out and got him and gave up a third-round pick, and everybody was singing kumbaya and we were so excited that we finally had a legit number one wide receiver, if he didn't get enough targets or yards and was and through this experiment this year, was like, you know what, the hell with this. I don't want to be in Pittsburgh long-term. I'm not going to sign back here, or if he didn't renegotiate, get me somewhere else. If it played out that way, A, how could we be surprised? And B, like that would be egg on the Steelers' face. You went out and got someone who was unhappy in their last port of call, and you just assumed, given your situation, that things would magically get better. You're not the friggin' Chiefs.
Nope.
You're not one of these franchises that is competing for Super Bowls every year. So that's what that was my light bulb moment today.
So you don't want them to go get him?
I don't, because I don't think we can make Davante Adams happy.
Very defeatist approach by you.
Yes, it is.
And you are not very defeatist. You are all in on the Ayuk train, even though what I was saying about Ayuk was somewhat of the same ilk here.
But the difference there being with Ayuk, Ayuk's whole agenda was get me my money and get me to, in this case, like a coach he was comfortable with. He wanted cool dad coach. He wanted somebody that he could get along with and relate to and whatever. Like, he prioritized that. Davante Adams, I think, is prioritizing, get me out of a situation where my quarterbacks are not Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell.
How much better would Justin Fields be than the best version of Gardner Minshew?
I still think better, but better enough
like
to...
like matters of degree, not overwhelmingly
better
so.
Enough to placate him completely? I just don't think...
I don't think he's a malcontent there. I mean, because if you read into any of the things that happened with Vegas, he was quietly talking with them about this. Like, there are people that think he and Antonio Pierce, despite the weird passive-aggressive stuff from Pierce, hold on, that they had sort of chatted about this in the offseason, and there was sort of a gentleman's agreement that if it wasn't going well early, he would say, hey, I want out.
Yeah.
And so I don't think this completely blindsided them. I do think how you go about something matters like that. Like, he hasn't really done a petulant foot-stomping thing until recently where you would say, just trade me. And
sure.
It's been pretty matter-of-fact.
But, I mean, it's gotten to a point where he's not playing games there, even though all three of us just agreed that he's healthy.
I still think that's more on the team's part. They know he doesn't want to be there, and so it doesn't do them any good to play him. And then if he actually goes out there and he's playing hard and he gets hurt, then guess what? You're stuck with him.
Do you think he'd actually play hard right now?
I don't think
made him play?
It's a question I can't even come up with an answer to, because I think once he made it very clear, I don't want to be here anymore, I want to be traded.
Okay, fine.
They decided they were going to put him on ice.
Fine, but he still forced their hand in this. If he had just rode the storm out, they wouldn't have said, you know what, Davante Adams, our team actually is better off without you. Why don't we put you on ice and trade you? I don't think that, even now, would have been their ideal scenario.
Yeah.
He got so frustrated and so bent out of shape about his situation there that he's caused them to find whatever like compromise or common ground you're talking about. No doubt he's handling it way more professionally than Deontay Johnson or Chase Claypool or Antonio Brown or any or Martavis Bryant, any of the guys who wanted out here. But at the end of the day, it's still the same thing. He's a wide receiver that's unhappy with his lot and doesn't want to play for his team anymore.
So what's your strategy?
Because he's not getting the ball enough.
So what's your strategy then for making their wide receiver problem go away? Because that's still a problem.
I just don't think when you have the label now and you're a team that is constantly fighting to keep wide receivers happy, I don't think that it's a good idea to trade for an unhappy wide receiver.
So just go about it the way you're going about it, keep chugging away, and hope it gets better.
No,
in-house.
Well, no, not in-house. I just think there are other guys that are going to get traded, not because they're pissed off about their situation, but because their
But if this is a place where wide receivers aren't happy, say just use Darius Slayton, who now they might not even be a good example. Okay, use Amari Cooper. He's going to come here and be happy. Maybe it'll be a better situation than Cleveland.
Well, I think the odds are better because those guys have not demanded trades or asked out of their situations. I mean, this is obviously, I'm using an extreme example, but don't you feel like if you traded for Antonio Brown in the last like 3 or 4 years, like you knew what you were signing up for?
Yeah,
we kind of know what we're signing up for with Davante Adams. He's not going to lash out and quit in games, but if his quarterback isn't good enough where he thinks a team can't win a Super Bowl, he's not going to want to be there.
Dude, wait a minute. Now, I understand it's different because he's played with these two guys before and has a relationship. You just said can't win a Super Bowl there, doesn't think his quarterback's good enough. Objectively, if you take his connections to Derek Carr and current version Aaron Rodgers out of it, are either of those guys good enough to win a Super Bowl?
No, but you can't take that part out of it, though, because he's brainwashed into thinking because of his personal relationship with these guys that he can win with them.
You think he'd want to go play with Patrick Mahomes?
I think he would, yes.
Think he'd find it in his heart?
Yes.
He'd probably find it in his heart to play with Josh Allen?
Yes, but we've already gone over this. The Raiders won't trade with the Chiefs, and the Bills are of the mindset that they need to share everything there, and they can't bring in
Josh Allen just went 9 for 30 and probably should have been held out of the game.
Well, then, Chris, again, we're back to the Bills and talking about them. Why don't we ever hear the Bills linked to guys like this? Because their reporters suck? Because they're not a trendy enough team?
I saw Nate Geary up there who did their pre and post game for a long time hypothesizing about Devontae Deals.
Yes, I mean, probably hypothesizing about it, more dreaming about it. Probably wet dreams knowing him because he's such a diehard Bills fan. But it does not seem like that's even close to becoming a reality, in part because the organization doesn't want it to happen. I don't know why. We can maybe get Brandon Bean on the show between now and 6 o'clock, but I just don't think... So you disagree with me on this? That
I just
like,
think
the Adams thing
no,
is...
No, no, no. I disagree in that he would be such a...
He's an unhappy wide receiver. Why should I want to trade for a guy that's unhappy?
I disagree that he would be like this ultimate malcontent here. And he also works underneath an intermediate. And I probably just can imagine them coming up with more opportunities for him to get the ball a lot here. It's just weird. You are expressing that you've had this epiphany, but the epiphany leaves you in a place where even though you have pounded the table for them to improve wide receiver... It sounds like you're paralyzed.
No,
you
not.
Don't want. But you're not naming big name guys that are going to come in here and be unbelievably transformative, unless it's Amari Cooper. Who? Why would the Browns trade in their division?
I know. Fair. Good point.
Darius Slayton suddenly doesn't look like a trade candidate because the Giants might actually get back in that division race.
Okay, my point is, I'm not going to give up anything of value for someone who has shown me that he can get very frustrated and very upset with a team that is struggling offensively with quarterbacks that are putting up mediocre stats.
Then what receiver fixes what ails them then? If that doesn't have that history. Name one.
Amari Cooper?
Won't trade in the division, so that's not really practical.
DeAndre Hopkins? He played with enough bad quarterbacks.
I've been hearing they're not at all interested in him.
What?
I have heard that they are not interested.
Well, there's a Mulsey bombshell there, Donnie. Have you heard that? That the Steelers don't like DeAndre Hopkins?
I've heard that there hasn't been like an inquiry.
There are those Mulsey sources. He's always saying he's got nobody.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Now you've got a big...
I've just heard that they're not... That's a player that they are not terribly interested in. That's all.
Well, then they're not going to get him. Yeah. I don't think you're going to get... you're not going to give up a good draft pick for a player you're ambivalent about.
No. They just, for whatever reason... That is what I was told. That's a little scuttlebutt central from your pal Mulsey.
Wow.
I'm just saying, like, I always like it when you have an epiphany because usually that means you've just come along to the side of right like me. Like, I came along to your side on Tomlin. But it's the epiphany that you've had leaves you in a very tough spot with what is a well-acknowledged problem. So basically, the only real solution in your epiphany situation is... They just get way better at throwing the ball.
No, it's not, though.
But you're not going to get a player who's a really transformative, impactful wide receiver who doesn't have some of the characteristics that you just mentioned almost any of these other guys would have.
Well, no one who's available has this characteristic where they're pissed off about their current team, not because the team is not exploring a Devontae Adams trade because they're waving the white flag on the season. He's making them do that. If I found out that Donnie... hated the culture of his last workplace because he didn't think his boss gave him enough opportunities, and I was going to try to hire him to work in my workplace where my employees had the same exact complaint. You don't give me enough reps. You don't give me enough opportunities. Why would I think it's going to work bringing him in?
Okay, fine. Then I think there's one guy I didn't name who I have seen mentioned as a possible trade candidate. There's only one guy who I think might work under these circumstances then, and that's Christian Kirk. That's the last guy.
Well, I maybe more become available between now and early November. I mean, there's still a month to go here.
I know, but did you look at the league standings? Everyone's in the messy middle here.
I know.
It's very sloppy. It's a big mud pit full of hogs rolling around.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Sometimes we'll do this if there's a very somber day and we feel like music is inappropriate.
We haven't done that in over a decade.
We don't want Young Turks blasting when we're talking about like the passing of...
Let me ask you this.
Some luminary in Pittsburgh sports.
R.I.P. Louis Tion, by the way.
Louis Tion. I mean, Pete Rose has passed recently. Now, let me ask you, though.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter finally goes here in the next year.
He did?
No, if he does.
Yeah.
Would we honor a former president?
No, not like that.
Because when George Herbert Walker Bush died, we didn't.
No, guys had a great run. That. You make
he's
100 years.
He's had an outrageous
had a Hall of Fame run.
He's had it, yeah.
The man is an Iron
had
Man.
A run. The guys Lou Gehrig and Cal Ripken rolled into one.
Some of the best longevity ever. Tyler Kennedy is about 15 minutes away. We won't discourage calls on the Penguins today. You want to share your thoughts on their season as well. We're here for you, 412-928-9370. We'll sprinkle those in. Throughout the day, we are reacting to the Schefter report that Devontae Adams to the Steelers is picking up steam now that the Saints and Jets are slowing down as trade options for the wide receiver. And are you more or less interested in Adams in light of the Pickens fiasco? I'm actually less thinking about how disgruntled Adams is in Vegas. I'm not naive to think that he's going to like this situation much better than the one he has in Vegas. Let's get your thoughts at 412-928-9370, starting with Sonny on the Fan. Hello, Sonny.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Hey, real quick, two quick points I just wanted to talk on. I'm Devontae Adams.
Sure.
Piece here. I'm not for it, nor do I think it will happen. I'm not going to fault like I did with Ayuk. I agree with you, Pony. Why the hell would he want to come here when, you know, come to an offense that doesn't like to attack or risk it at all?
He might want to come here, but he's going to quickly discover that the grass isn't much greener than it was in Vegas.
Right. I mean, you know, he doesn't know who the hell his quarterback's going to be. You know, offense coordinator has shown that he hasn't used realistic number two receiver in the past. Can't get the running game going like how they thought they would. I'd be against it. I think they need to see what they have in Roman Wilson and maybe look for. You know,
well, that would involve letting Roman Wilson actually be active for a game, Sonny.
Did you see, and I posted this on Twitter, did you see the smart-ass comments that Dulac made about Wilson's situation?
No, but Jerry likes to make an occasional smart-ass comment. So,
Gene Mingo asked, what's going on with Roman Wilson?
Gene Mingo?
Yes. Do we know who that is?
No, I just kind of thought that, or are you like inserting questions in here?
Gene Mingo.
Okay.
Jerry Dulac says, it's called, quote, he's a rookie and not sure what he's doing. Is the first comment.
I wonder who Jerry... Well, we know Jerry, you know, talks to a lot of people. Who was Jerry hearing that from, that he's a clueless rookie?
Steve in Canton. What will it take for Roman Wilson to finally make a game day appearance? Dulac, couple more games, but I don't think you should be expecting Antonio Brown. Be happy if he gets as many catches as his uniform number. Whose cornflakes did Roman Wilson pee in?
Jerry's,
I doubt that, like, in a vacuum, Jerry just has a vendetta or an axe to grind with Roman Wilson. He can't be hearing positive things about him, because if he were, as a guy that works for the team's radio network, mm-hmm. or audio network, as it's now called, I can't fathom that he would just give such snarky comments about it. Just like how I feel like Max Starks has a freedom or license to be very critical of George Pickens, because there are members of the Steelers organization who feel the same way. Mm-hmm. Same way Chris Hoke felt comfortable saying critical things about Broderick Jones, because he knows that others in the Steelers organization might share that opinion.
So it's a bellwether. You hear one of those guys say it, you can safely assume that there is some unrest inside the walls.
I mean, it's one thing to say, hey, okay, he missed all the training camp in the preseason.
Moving
it's going to take him time.
But like, they have no receivers outside of Pickens. Pickens looks pissed off.
He's not sure what he's doing. Yeah. What an insult to Wilson's football IQ to say that. And work ethic, really.
And nothing about Wilson, the player, though, has suggested that he doesn't work hard or have a, you know, whatever.
It's the exact opposite. Yeah. This guy doesn't have a big ego.
Wasn't he flying to high school every morning?
Yeah, from Hawaii.
Well, from Hawaii to Hawaii. You know,
yes, to an island, from a Hawaiian island to another. Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah, I mean, I just, that irked me today reading that, because you have to understand that fans, this is a very sensitive thing for them. They're watching one wide receiver quit on the team, and we've got one guy that's locked up because evidently when you get injured in training camp, it blows up your rookie season, which I didn't know that was a team rule or team thing. Especially when it's the weakest position on the roster and we're watching guys who can't get open every freaking week.
It's not like he was a fifth or sixth round pick either. I mean, they spent a pick where you expect, when you take a guy at that spot in the draft, first 100 picks, first 85 picks actually, you expect him to contribute in year one.
Here's Mike next. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. I'm going to talk about just kind of a conspiracy theory scenario where maybe the Steelers and Raiders have already done a deal. But the Raiders are like, hey, we're not going to give him to you and then have him beat us 5 days later. And the Steelers said, well, that's fine, but don't play him. And then Monday comes and the deal is announced.
I like it. I mean, it passes.
Well,
my...
you don't like it because that would bring in a guy you don't want to be here.
I know, but the conspiracy theory does pass my smell test.
The Raiders
wouldn't want to trade Davante Adams to Pittsburgh in time for him to then play against them almost immediately.
Would he also not get another $900,000 cheaper?
With every
passing actual week of game action, he gets almost $1 million cheaper to whoever would actually be taking him.
That's right.
And they don't have enough. They have like right on the edge of enough room.
All right,
right
Mike,
now.
Are you going to put your balls on the line here and say that's what you think is actually happening, though?
Yes.
Good job.
And I'll call back Monday if it does.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Hopefully your balls don't end up like Jalen Tolbert's after that one play. Sprained.
Donnie, do you like the idea of trading for a disgruntled wide receiver when we can't keep wide receivers happy?
We haven't kept a wide receiver gruntled in this town in forever.
Oh, yeah.
They're all disgruntled.
I mean, the big name ones have been disgruntled. It's a risk that they have to be, if they do take it, they have to change their philosophy on things, and I just don't see that happening. I just think it is way too stubborn all the way around. Like, if you pick up a player like that, he's going to be pissed off almost immediately.
That's what I mean. Don't you? I know we've been working here, Chris and I, for 15 years, so we don't know other jobs. Donnie had a bunch of odd jobs before.
Yes,
he worked here. I'm sure one of these jobs you had before starting at the Fan, you were like, oh, this sounds great. This is better than my previous job. And then you showed up and it took you maybe a day or two to be like, wait a minute, this actually sucks ass. This was not what they pitched me on or sold me on when I applied or when I interviewed there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's, yeah, I can relate to that.
I think for Davante Adams, when he's looking, you know, from the outside looking in with his face pressed against the glass, oh man, Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. Listen to these sound bites. He wins these player polls each year.
Do you think wide receivers, though, specifically... do you really think that they're blind to like how the Steelers' offense has looked?
Are they blinded by the light, revved up like a douche, another runner
wrapped
in the night?
Wrapped up like a deuce, another runner in the night. Wrapped up like a deuce.
I thought it was douche, like cleaning.
Why would a douche be wrapped up?
Have other people not made the same comment as me here?
There's two things that have happened. People misstate the lyrics to that song, and they attribute it, I think, because of illegal downloads circa like 2004 to Bruce Springsteen. Because it would always show up on like Kazaa.
I'm pretty sure I was at a Bruce Springsteen concert when he played this song.
But it's Manfred Mann, isn't it?
Okay. Well,
I think it's a cover. I think they're covering Bruce.
Oh, really?
But their version is that it's one of those situations where the covers are a lot better.
Exactly.
Oh,
you didn't know that?
Yeah.
No, Bruce has more of a folksy twang to the song.
Mm.
And Manfred Mann has more of a in your face.
Oh, when I think of Manfred Mann, I think of a guy just blocking and tackling.
Wrapped up like a douche. He really gets into it. Yeah.
He just wanted to make a song that celebrated feminine hygiene.
Mr. Kennedy!
All right. Kennedy. It's that time again. It's a great day for hockey, the Penguins and Rangers. Kick off the season tonight, 7:30 TNT. That means Paul Bissonnette and the gang will be breaking this one down. Once we get into the local games, Tyler Kennedy will be part of the Sportsnet Pittsburgh intermission reports in pre- and post-game. Congratulations on all your success, TK.
Thanks, boys. I'm back in the saddle. I'm excited. You know, this is going to be a good year for the Penguins. I really do.
Define good.
What's good mean?
Making playoffs. I think if we make playoffs, that's a good start. You know,
just lower that bar, TK. Now we just get in and we're happy. Let's just be one of the 16. Just give us a ticket to the dance.
You never know what happens. But like, I just feel like I cannot see Sidney Crosby not making the playoffs 3 years in a row on his way, you know, on those guys' end of their careers. Like, I don't see it happening.
Okay, if Crosby and just how great he continues to be and like his will to put this team on his back is maybe your biggest reason for optimism, give me one other reason you're feeling bullish about this team that doesn't have the number 87 on his sweater.
Well, I think Raquel is going to pick up his game. I thought he struggled last year. They needed him to score more goals. And I feel that throughout training camp, he's really built his confidence back up. You see his last game against Columbus in, you know, that goal from the sidewall on the power play, that's a goal scorer's goal. So hopefully that builds his confidence. He's a guy that I'm hoping and I'm encouraged that he's going to have a good year. I think they've changed up the bottom six. I think Jesse Puljujärvi, he's added to the game. I think he's added to his game. I think he's going to be a guy that's someone that needs to step up. Their defenseman, it's a little bit of a riverboat gambler, but I'm hoping that Mike Sullivan's got them all buying into the system and understanding where they are as a team. We're a team that we don't need to jump when we're up by a goal. This is going to be win by committee, win by strategy. This is not going to be one guy doing it all or a guy trying to be a hero. So those are some of the things that I think are going to help the Penguins if they do it.
The Penguins are opening up with the Rangers, one of the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. I wanted to go back into the vault, the time machine with Tyler Kennedy. The last time the Penguins opened the season at home against the Rangers, exactly 15 years ago, it was banner night. It was when you guys got your rings after winning the Stanley Cup. October 9th, 2009, you beat the Rangers 3-2 at Mellon Arena. Do you remember anything about that game, or did you black out for that one, TK?
Boys, that's a while ago. I honestly, I don't remember. If you tell me a little bit about the goal,
You did score. You did score in this game.
Yeah. I don't remember.
So you don't remember banner came down, you got your rings. You've completely forgotten that from the Tyler Kennedy reservoir of great hockey memories.
What game in your career, playing career, do you have the single most vivid memory of?
Ooh,
there's honestly, anytime I scored a big goal or anytime I got in a fight, because I was always like so nervous about those, any playoff game, like the biggest in the probably the most vivid memories I have is against like Philadelphia, because like when we went to Philadelphia, when they came here, it was like war. You know, it was like it was time to put the, you know, the hard hat on. You knew it was going to be a tough game, and it was such a great battle between Pennsylvania. That was a big one. I hated playing New York because they had Sean Avery, and I hated him because I knew he was coming every night. Any of the Toronto games, any game that, you know, something happened. I remember a game in Jersey when I got hurt, a guy fell, and I like really hurt my leg pretty bad. Just games like that, I remember. You know, again, 82 games, guys, is so many games. Like, when I think of, like, playing and, like, sitting back, not being a player, I'm like, how do these guys play 82
games? Tyler, I just said that to Chris yesterday. We were watching the Kraken and Blues game in the afternoon, and I said, the hockey season started. It won't end till after Memorial Day. Think about that for a second.
Every second game, or every second day, every third day. For that whole time, which is like insane.
We'll have, you know, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Valentine's
April
Day,
Fool's Day, St.
Patrick's Day.
Day.
I mean, you just, it's
President's Day.
It never ends, bro.
The Steelers are going to go through like a mandatory mini camp for rookies
for next year.
They have to.
Yeah. Would you like to make a bet on this season?
Oh, boy.
We're betting already, boys. We're already getting the bets going on.
Well, you're supposed to... Hold on. Pony's about to make a bet. Pony's about to make a bet. You and I are still supposed to have a golf match at some point, TK.
All right.
Yeah, I know. I was actually thinking about that today. I had a couple of guys reach out about Oakmont. I think a good course would play Nemacolo and be an undercover good course. Go up there, you know, maybe have a hot tub before we get on the range, get on the round going, a little nice dinner after.
Jeez.
I think we do the whole nine yards at Nemacolin, but
here's the bet.
I'll kick your butt anytime you want.
All right, TK, here's the bet.
Here we go.
If the Penguins make the playoffs, I will make a $1,000 donation to the charity of your choice. If they miss the playoffs, you have to pick. You have to give $1,000 to mine.
I'll do that.
Let's go.
I'm in.
Let's go.
I'm in. Let's Pony, go. Double it up or what? You gonna double it up?
Oh, me?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm on the side of I think they're gonna make the playoffs, so I'd be on your side of this, I guess.
Oh, perfect.
Maybe we, that means Pony's got to put two at risk. One for each of us, then, if that's really going to be how this goes.
You know what? Yeah. That's actually a win-win, is the way I look at that. Yeah. Because if they make the playoffs.
Honestly, they better get off to a hot start.
If they start 0-3, I am going to be screaming, this Mike Sullivan needs to go. This team needs a kick in the ass. If they need to get going.
If they make the playoffs, I'll be happy, even though I'll be out $2,000. If they miss the playoffs, I know my charitable cause will get $2,000 from you suckers. So I'm in. Let's go. When's your first game, Tyler? Tomorrow night for Detroit? Or when are you on? When are we going to get you in the mix here? Do we know yet?
Saturday night, you're going to see the
Maple Leafs
buried on TV, baby.
All right. I can't wait to see what suit you have, and we'll bust your balls about
Please
it next
wear
week.
Like an orange or powder blue Dumb and Dumber suit.
A nice little suit and tie today.
Oh, nice.
All right. Suit and tie.
All right, TK. We'll see you, brother.